back in 2019, we had big plans for covering this election. We knew we wanted to hear from as many people in as many places as we could get to help us better understand what they thought was at stake in this election. We went to Michigan last July. This year, we traveled to Iowa in January and New Hampshire in February. We knocked doors with activists, chatted with voters outside of campaign rallies, met up with political leaders and operatives. And we were really excited about upcoming trips to states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and North Carolina. And then it all stopped. But of course, the news didn't stop. A pandemic, an economic recession, record unemployment, an uprising against racism and for police reform. And we knew that it was more important than ever to hear from those impacted by these events. But we had to do it virtually. It wasn't easy. But the hardworking producers of the show, Amber Hall and Patricia Jacob, found an incredibly diverse group of people who shared their stories with us this year. So, in our last politics show before Election Day, we checked back in with some of them.
My name is David Bradley, and I'm the president of the Athens Area Chamber of Commerce in Athens, Georgia. Things have changed dramatically since May. Of course, then we really had no idea what to expect.
My name's Lenore Estrada, and I'm the owner of Three Babes Bake Shop in San Francisco, and I'm also the founder of SF New Deal. My PPP money ran out. We've been really struggling to try to sell enough to justify the headcount that we have. I actually took out an additional EIDL loan. Also, I had a baby 2 weeks ago.
I'm Abigail Opaya, co-founder of Yolucci by Unruly, a mobile hairstyling service for women of color. When we first reopened in June, we saw about $10,000 coming in within, you know, a matter of hours. And then by the end of the week, we had about $20,000 in revenue. It was obviously pent-up demand, people itching to get their hair done. But since then, we've kind of leveled out and we're not necessarily doing pre-pandemic numbers, but we are close.
My name is Rachel Fine and I own Giggle Waters. It's a restaurant, bar, and a one-screen classic movie theater in Safety Harbor, Florida. The last time we talked, Florida still had pretty significant restrictions on dining indoors, but since then, Governor DeSantis has moved us into phase 3, which is full operations and 100% capacity. Something I should be thrilled about, but I'm not. I don't feel good about flinging open my doors and having a bunch of people crowd around a bar.
My name is Spence Shelton. I serve as the lead pastor of Mercy Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. The last time we talked, we were holding services online. So we did that for several months and recently have gathered outdoors for about the past 8 weeks or so. And we're actually going to begin with one very socially distanced indoor worship service and then continue our outdoor services starting this upcoming weekend.
Hi, my name is Judah Lewis. Things have changed significantly. So I moved into Fort Worth and now I am teaching 6th grade and 7th grade English language arts and reading. A lot of the students that I teach come from low-income backgrounds, special needs students that are homeless. I have a lot of students that don't have internet to begin with. And so me teaching virtually and doing 2 35-minute lessons, it's not going to be helpful for them. It's just not enough. And now we've moved to a place where a lot of the students are back in person. It's hybrid and we have students that are still online and they're not coming back soon. There's a heightened anxiety because of the fear of catching coronavirus.
Of course, the uprisings this year in the wake of the killing of George Floyd were on some minds as well.
I'm Dr. Carlos K. Hill. I have been pleasantly surprised by the number of Americans who are beginning to show solidarity with the movement for Black Lives Matter.
I'm RJ Young. I'm from Tulsa. I feel that I am constantly being gaslighted as my fears are no longer taken seriously at all, that in the very red state of Oklahoma, I'm being told that I am making everything about race, or I am making everything about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, that I am the person who is sensitive to COVID-19, that I'm preventing it from me living my life.
And they shared their concerns about their economic challenges.
if another round of emergency relief doesn't come in, I'm not hopeful that I would expect that we might lose 20-25% of our businesses downtown.
I just think like the government has to do more to step in if we want to preserve our small businesses and our jobs.
With this election, I think that no matter who wins, you know, there's still going to be an effect on the economy. There's still going to be civil unrest that's happening. I'm not sure how long it's going to take for the recession to be turned around. So yes, although I am hoping that we, you know, get a new person in the White House this year, it's not lost on me that there's still going to be a lot to contend with.
On the policy front, some people were less than optimistic.
Even with this greater awareness and this seeming solidarity, it is by no means a given that legislation will occur, new policies will be developed, more accountability will occur as a result of those things. That's the sobering reality.
I feel that the results of the election have the possibility of moving the needle on the conversation and race, but only further into what I think is the wrong direction. Either folks are going to vote for Donald Trump and we'll get 4 more years of what we had and possibly worse, or Joe Biden wins and a very loud and what we know to be at least enthusiastic part of the country is going to feel as if we threaten them further.
But some told us about the hopes they have riding on this election.
I am very, very optimistic about the future of the country because I am very optimistic in people.
Well, I would just say that I'm cautiously optimistic.
I've never seen as big a push getting out to vote as in the last, you know, in these last 3 to 6 months.
Well, if North Carolina is a purple state, I will tell you Mercy Church is a purple church.
Regarding the presidential election, I just want it over. Florida is such a passionately purple state, and we are all so divided right now, and everyone's feet are really just frozen in the mud waiting to see what direction life is going to go in. And so honestly, if I could just fast forward and figure out what life looks like under the next presidency, I'd be so grateful because this is a very tough time.
I'm definitely hoping for a Biden win as a human being and as a business owner, really, and as a mom. I mean, geez, I was listening today on NPR, just talks about the kids separated from their parents at the border and like kids in cages. And as a parent, it's just heartbreaking. You get choked up. It's like you'd be looking for your child forever.
For RJ Young, hope comes from within.
My girlfriend is white. She has 2 little girls who are also white. And they're the only 2 people on the face of the earth that know me as RJ first and not as a black man first. And knowing that those 2 girls will grow up to be 2 women who have a relationship with a black man that is deeper than what color are you and where do you come from in the city gives me some measure of hope.
America has a complicated and messy history, one that we still are grappling to fully appreciate, but it's also a resilient and optimistic place that continues to change and evolve.
I hope next Wednesday that we breathe a sigh of relief and we really start holding hands to work together again to find a better tomorrow.
I want to thank all of our guests who shared their lives with us this year.